Hi, this is Christian Buckley. I'm the Managing Director of Americas for GT Consult.
And I'm John Westworth, a Customer Success Manager for Microsoft.
And we're here with Module 7 for the Yammer Administration and Power User Best Practices. And we're going to dig into Module 7 on Power User Tips and Tricks. And why are we covering the Power User Tips and Tricks? It's because using the platform is essential to be a good administrator. So you can't just be up on top looking down on the crowd and the people. They are down there collaborating, and I'm here making sure that they do it correctly. No, you have to actually be in there nurturing, leading in many cases, and helping people to be more efficient in their usage of the platform. What we're going to cover is really just kind of the tips and tricks. That's it. We're going to run through a list of the 10 things which we think are essential that every admin should be using. And of course, this is any power user. Any user can do these things. There's a couple things here that are limited to network and group admin, but nothing that's verified admin specifically. So we'll go through and kick this off. Top 10 power user tips and tricks. Oh, we should have some music that just queued there.
Flames, more pyro.
That's right. All right, number one, don't let questions or comments go unanswered. This is huge. And I would say that this is true with any social, but you want to get people to stop using Yammer is let them ask questions, seek help, look for expertise, and no one answers the call.
Absolutely. So when I first created a group within Microsoft, funny enough, most of my job was just spent dragging other people into the conversations so that people would get a response. And that way they find value from it. Then they think it's actually somewhere I can go to get an answer. But it takes work and it takes effort to do.
It is. It's a cultural change. I mean, it takes time for people to get used. If they're not a social organization historically, it's going to take time for them to adjust and move over. So it's important that as an administrator, and I would encourage any of your power users, any of your very active users in the network to take it upon themselves. I'd say train them to be a culture where people are reaching out and looking for ways that they can help. It's not like you're talking about a lot of time. If I'm logging in to track a specific conversation and I see some recent comments in groups that I'm a member of and that there are comments that have gone unanswered for a day or two, I'm just inclined to go in and say, like, is it something I can help with? I'm talking about a minute or two a day to go in and do that. If I don't know the answer, I'm just going to pull somebody else into it.
And there's nothing worse than hearing from a fellow colleague, who actually says, well, I posted it on Yammer, but I never got a reply. Right. Something that's going to kill it straight away.
You can't rely on just getting those email notifications. So the second one, and so John's actually going to show this, is tracking important conversations using bookmarks. Because, you're constantly losing important conversations as people are using Yammer within that newsfeed. They fall away, they get lost. Now, you could go and search if you know what you're looking for, but otherwise they get lost. So it's a great way to stay on top of what's going on in the environment.
Absolutely, and it's incredibly simple to do.
All right, let's take a look, John.
Switch over to my screen, please. So here we are, we're looking at a conversation. I might say, actually, this is really interesting. I want to keep the information here and refer back to this at a later date. So I literally just click on more and click on bookmark. That's now gone into my bookmarks. Where are bookmarks, I hear you ask? If I click on my profile, that will bring that up and I can click on bookmarks and there they are listed to, and I can actually refer back to them later. And that becomes my kind of own repository and my own knowledge base as I move forward.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. I want to show you one thing. So while you're in there, look at those bookmarks. So let's look at the conversation and research and development. So I'm down in the other fake group that we've created. There's that. So if I go in there and comment on that too, so it's like, so you see me in action, that's happening there. As I am adding directly to it, that it's going to show up within your environment as well. So moving it over bookmark, it's not like it takes a timestamp.
A snapshot,
of that conversation.
No. Right. It's a real life view of that conversation.
And what's powerful about this, to go in and bookmark like that, so I can go in, again, saving that conversation. So I go back in and look at my, the various conversations that I've bookmarked, and I'm tracking that. If I find that I've come to the end of this conversation, I no longer need to follow that. It's just simple of going in and unbookmarking, and it removes it then from my profile and drops it down in importance. So hopefully that makes sense. All right, number three, pulling people into a conversation. And so this is just like bookmarks. I mean, you conversations fly by. You can't assume that everybody sees them. I mean, we all get these Yammer notifications. Well, I've got most of my navigation, my notifications down to on a weekly basis, so I'm not getting overwhelmed by them. But while I try to go through that email, and I actually have filters in my email around the body of content coming in to drop it in certain folders, I miss some conversations. And so it's important sometimes when you know someone is missing from that dialogue to be able to go in and redirect that conversation, either through sharing that to a group, sharing it privately to an individual, or at mentioning the person to pull them into that conversation. And so that's what I want to show you really quick, just some quickly how you do these activities. So I go back over. Am I in the right profile? There it is. All right. So I go into that. I'm going to go back to the home here. And so here's this conversation that's happening as we were just over in research and development, this fantastic informative discussion that's going on. Dandy, hello, yes, okay. So what I'm going to do here is I'm actually going to mention, you know, Alex, you're already in the conversation, but I can do this and I can say, you know, D person in there? Is it a B? Let's see. Something happened there. So I've got Bonnie that I can add into that. I can also, I want it, the admin to be part of that conversation. And I can, you know, redirect that I can pull people into the conversation by now mentioning that. So when Bonnie and the admin are logged back in, then they're going to get the notifications up on top that they've been mentioned in a conversation. Similarly, I can go up and I can share this conversation. So I can either post it to another group, and it gives me a drop down of the various groups that I'm a member of. I might say that, hey, this is important to operations. And where I can, once again, I could say, I could even share it. So hey, Alex, this is really important. It should, or like it, also aligns with what is happening in ops. And so I can take this whole, it could be a huge threaded discussion that's happening here, and move that conversation, insert it into another group where there might be a similar discussion that's happening and where it could continue and take another life on its own. Or I could even go and send it to an individual, and I could go back to, I want to get over to Janet and say, you know, a private message to her about how important this is. Hey, take a look at it on your own. And she can then decide to go and either participate in that dialogue or join that group. So these are the different ways that you, whether or not you know the answer or are it's relevant to what you're doing, that you can redirect if you think you know the person that it impacts to get them more involved. Yeah. It can be very powerful. All right, let's jump back over. Using the announcements. So John's going to demo this. And we showed it in the last module, but I think it's worth showing again. As a replacement for the broadcast emails, for one, very powerful. If Yammer has become the default location where your company or your group is communing around a topic, then it's a great place then to blast out and ensure that everyone sees that message. So let's see a demonstration of that over on John's screen. A demo of creating an announcement.
So in order to create an announcement, you need to be a group admin to be able to do that. So not everybody can create an announcement within a group. And if I click on announcement, there's a few things you're going to notice about this. First of all, I can actually have a subject on there, which differentiates it from another post on there. So I can say, this is to say thank you. And also, it's the only type of post where I can start to use things like bold and italics, and we've got a bit more.
Can you use lavender?
No, you can't use lavender, unfortunately. Okay. Right. Well, I could use the word lavender.
Well, that's what, this is another thing we should talk about, is providing feedback back to Microsoft, more lavender.
More lavender. There we go. I can actually notify people on there as well. So I'm going to notify Garth. I could notify Garth on there as well. Now, the main difference as well between this and a normal post is when I post this within a group, it's going to stay at the top until people have read it. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to drop down. So if there's lots of conversation going on with a group and you want to make sure that people see it, then an announcement is a way to go. The other thing, when I make an announcement, that little notifications bell will light up as well, so people will know that there's an announcement that they've got to go and have a look at, rather than it just being a standard post.
And if you post that, then I'm logged in, and if we switch over, I can show you. So my view, so there I've got the new message that's there. I click on that. So there's the announcement there. If I go into research and development, so if I had already been in research and development, it would have just popped in. So that's an announcement within a group. Of course, as an admin, you can also go and do an announcement across the entire network if you want to. Do you want to demonstrate that?
The other thing I'd say about an announcement as well is, one thing I'd say about that is they do tend to get overused sometimes. Because you can actually create an announcement, and people think it's a great way of announcing things to people, that they'll tend to overuse it, and it can become quite spammy over a period of time. So I'd use them sparingly rather than trying to overuse them with it.
So that's why with email, I send everything urgent 1, urgent 2, and urgent 3. But urgent 3 really isn't that urgent, so you just can ignore those?
Absolutely. So here I am as a network administrator. I can make an announcement out to all company on there as well if I want to, which means that everybody within the organization would see that. Now, as I said, posting to all company as well is maybe something that you may want to think about as well, because literally everybody within that organization can see those posts as well.
Yep. Yeah, so I see it here at the top of my screen now. I can switch back over. There we go. This is Tose. Thank you. I'm going to read more about that. Oh, and you love lavender. Excellent.
So, yeah, typing skills aren't great today.
All right. Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, yeah, sure, we use these all the time, and I think, again, most people understand that, you know, but it's just to explain it and how you do that and the differences between the group and at the top level.
Yeah.
Another cool feature that you should think about using is the polling feature. And so I'm actually surprised that we're gonna talk about polling, and we're also gonna talk about praise, is how little they're actually used in a lot of networks. I think it's a fantastic way to very quickly go and get information from the group. You'd want like the spot poll.
Yeah.
Go and, you know, and like my team, like where do we want to go for lunch today kind of things, to where you might be digging in and trying to get real information about, look, we're doing a planning and we want to have a discussion around a specific feature. What are people's thoughts on this? Or what are user scenarios that you're running into the most? What's the number one, you know, user issue that you're seeing? Things like that. So using the polling feature, and I'll show you very quickly how to go in and do that. So I'll go back into my home, and it's right up there as one of the options at the top. And it really is as simple as, let's do the, where should we eat lunch today? And so let's do that. Let's do you know, burgers. Let's do at tacos. Let's do that at pizza. So yeah, really deep stuff here. But I'm gonna post that out there, and so it shows up. The options. Now, it's limited. You can't get creative in the polls. It's not meant to be something that is robust, that gives you multiple choice, you know, answers here. You're not going to go and do a detailed survey. There are other tools that are available for that. But, you know, for basic information, go in, want to eat tacos, of course tacos. of course, I'm waiting for John to also reply so I can see the data like pop up. Do you see the poll?
I do.
And then reload that. There, he voted.
My vote's in.
Vote's in. Reload. We're at a tie. We're at a standstill. So apparently we're eating pizza.
Well, I'll change my vote. There we go. We're going for tacos now.
Yes. Okay. That's the kind of data. See, it's empirical data here, people. That people love, prefer. Two out of two people sitting at this table prefer tacos.
I'm going with a majority.
That's right. Yeah. You fell to peer pressure.
Yeah.
See, I was able to do that. See, that's the power of collaboration, is peer pressure.
Tacos.
Well, I should have done it through Yammer. It would have been more compelling had I pressured you through this. But, I think you can understand the basic capabilities of going, and anybody can go and create, any user can go and create the poll, the polls, and capture that, you know, quick and simple data point. Next, John's going to demonstrate recognizing something, so using the praise capability.
Yep.
And so this is one of those things where, again, you start to get into a more complex topic around gamification. So you look at like motivating factors for people within collaboration platforms, and the gamification is, it's basically the study of looking at and changing the, or encouraging behaviors to get desired results and measuring those behaviors. And so it's not manipulating somebody into doing that, but by sometimes making them fun, so introducing games into it, that's where some of that comes from. But it's really about using leaderboards, using polling, using different ways of getting people to become more engaged. And there's different ways to do it. It's a huge topic. It's a session all in and of itself. But you have, out of the box, as John's going to show, some basic praise capability built into Yammer.
Okay. So if we have a look in our research and development group again, you'll see there's an option up there. Click on praise. Very, very simple. Who would you like to praise? And the great thing here is you can do individuals or you can do groups of people as well. So I'm going to recognize Garth there.
Garth gets all the praise.
He does.
He's a great guy, though.
He is. So I'm going to just say thanks for the tacos. I can actually change that icon next to there as well. Now, if I wanted to, I might actually want to praise their manager, CC their manager on there as well, because it's great doing praise to an individual, but you want to make sure their management structure is aware of what's going on in there as well. So literally, I just click on post there. That praise will go to Garth, and their manager will be able to see that as well. Now, another way of doing praise, which we haven't kind of talked about at the moment, is just the like button as well, which is a very simple way of trying to get execs to engage. So every exec thinks they've got to engage by doing lots of long posts on there. Just getting a like from somebody on the C-level or your manager is a great way of, again, gamifying and getting people involved and making them feel good about what they're doing as well.
Now, I would say that there are those chronic likers that are out there that will go like pretty much anything that's posted that they'll go in and like. So it's almost like you need to, like any data set, knock off all the top percentage and the bottom percentage, and it's somewhere normalized in the middle. But generally, people are using that the right way. So it's one of those, again, where the community is managing a lot of that behavior, and it's becoming fairly common practice across multiple platforms to have that kind of social capability built into it, that people understand it, that when they're liking something, they're, I would say endorsing, it might be a strong word for it, but they're acknowledging, like, this is a positive thing. And
I've got to be honest, I prefer a like to a reply all on an email that says, I like this.
Right.
And anybody else says, me too.
Right.
A like is a much more succinct way of doing the same thing.
Exactly. All right, number eight. So we talked about this in the last module. We went in and showed you this, but creating external networks. Powerful way to collaborate with partners and customers, even to set up different communities of interest within your organization. It's a lot cheaper, it's faster and easier than a formal extranet solution, and it's simple to set up as inviting people in and sending us an email. So you can actually set it up within literally seconds, 30 seconds, you're live, you're collaborating with customers. So we're not going to show a demo of that one since we saw that in the last module. Hosting a Yam Jam. You're starting to see this, hear about it. Now, I host a monthly tweet jam, and people say, well, why are you doing a tweet jam every month? I do it, following the hashtag collab talk, and there are just hundreds of people, sometimes hundreds of people actively participating in these, but then thousands of people that are consuming this with millions of imprints of these tweets that go out. Well, the difference between a tweet jam and a Yam Jam is Twitter is the internet. It's out there. Everybody, anyone in the world can monitor that just by following a hashtag and see the conversation. Well, that's the same idea in a YamJam, is that, and I have a great example. Previous company that I worked for, we had a sales meeting where they flew in about 100, 120 salespeople from our offices around the world, and it was the annual summit. And so they were going through multiple days of training, sitting in this giant room. And we were actually at the Microsoft facilities doing this. And I said, you know, they're sharing links and they're saying, I'll share my slides later. I was just like, what is this? And so I, in Yammer, started, I created a hashtag summit and started tracking conversation. And then during one of the in-between sessions, I got up in front of the audience and said, I'm tracking all this within Yammer. I'm sharing my questions and my thoughts. If you have any questions about each of the presentations, go in and add the hashtag. And so we just right on the spot created this YamJam. What was great about this, not only were, as the speakers were coming up, they go sit down again, we were actually sharing their slides out live while they're presenting. So then people went from looking at the screen up front to looking, you know, a lot of them following along with that and asking questions. We then started fielding questions from the audience because people get nervous about doing that live, but when they're sitting there typing their questions, suddenly they felt they were anonymous. They weren't, we knew who they were, but they were asking questions and we were cataloging all of that. And what was powerful that is a year later was the next year's summit. And they did the same thing. And as people started going and looking, look at some of the content and the data and the presentations from last year. It was then this body of work that was spanning that year's time. So you're not losing that valuable knowledge and learning. It's a powerful way to capture that and collect it around those hashtags.
And what a great way to engage everybody in the room and keep them kind of engaged with what the presentation, rather than just being presented to, or actually become part of the presentation.
Exactly. Well. I mean, and there's not a lot to demo here, but just to give an example, if we both go and log in, so I'm back logged in as Garth, and I'm just going to go in there and I don't want a poll, I want an update, and to go in and just do the, you know, like, let's just use that example, summit, like, great presentations today. When are the slides going, if I can spell, to be available? And put that out there and let's ping you and Bonnie on that, and I'm just going to post that. So he's in there responding. So go back to my home message. Up in the next hour. So, but what's great about this is that I can go in and as I click on that hashtag, and is if you actually go in, why don't you go into a different group while I'm doing this, go in and just and add the hashtag summit somewhere else. So here I've clicked on, you can see the tag up here of summit. So I'm in there, I can see the date, I can see who's involved, who's replied to each of the threaded conversations that are happening around that. As we wait for the other comment to come in, might go back to home. There might be another comment on, that's coming in around summit. So I'm gonna click on summit again. And so now you can see both of those conversations around the summit. So if you think about this, if you're doing something where in real time, it can become very powerful to be able to capture and gather all of that information. So finally, the last tip here is if you're a SharePoint shop, like many of us are, is embedding your groups within SharePoint. It's a powerful way to extend the Yammer social capability over inside of the SharePoint platform. One thing that there was an announcement that was out there about just a few days ago, a week ago, if that, about the fact that that Microsoft is end-of-lifing in SharePoint 2010, the Yammer web part, and in 2013, the Yammer app, and they are promoting the Yammer embed. And so it's very easy to go in and embed a feed. One thing that is, there are some impacts packs. And so we're hoping to get more information out of Ignite and around the search, because it is not, it's a feed, essentially like an RSS feed into the environment. That you know, the question is, well, that impacts then my search capability of those conversations. Yep. We were able to have some of that. So hopefully we'll have more information later this year. But the other topic, the other concern about the embed was the look and feel of the embed feed itself. And so the slide that I have up in front of me is actually simple URL. There's a great widget that Microsoft has made available, the Yammer team has out there, that allows you to go in and shape what that HTML looks like for that feed. So you can remove the header, you can control the look and feel, the size, the width and height of that feed. But essentially, let me show you very quickly, I'll show you a demo what this looks like. So if I go into, so I'm just there, I'm going to open up another, actually, do I have it open already? I do have it, hang on a second. So I'm going to go into the Waffle or the app launcher, and I'm going to go into sites. We've edited that time frame down. That took 35 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so I'm going to go into in the demo site to sales and marketing. The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go back over to my the various conversations that are happening. I might go into the created this Microsoft Virtual Academy group over in Yammer, and this is the conversation that I want to be able to embed into my SharePoint site. So I'm over in, you know what, because I think I'm just, there we go. So here I am over on a site with some, ignore the broken links over there, but I actually want to go up and embed, and I'm not going to worry about the finessing of where I'm placing this. I just want to show you the basic capability. So I actually want to go in and edit my page, and basically anywhere that you can insert content or HTML into this. So I want to put it like below this. So what I'm going to do is I'm back in my group. I'm going to scroll down on the right side, and you see this embed this group in your site. Click on that. And there's the embed code. So this is just like any other, in fact, it's pretty typical. If you blog, you have likely embedded a YouTube video or a SlideShare presentation or something or other where it does this, follows the same pattern. So all I'm gonna do is right click, I'm gonna copy that code, I'm gonna go back, toggle back over, and I'm going to insert my, embed the code there, paste that, it comes up, be inserted, it'll load it. Doesn't like the frame. All right. Check it in, put notes around that. And there it is. So it can publish that out. But now you see that entire, there's our network. There's the whole conversation. And if you see, I'm going to put this in the just added. And I'm going to add that in. As I toggle back over, close that. And if I do, there's a click to see the new message. There's my just added message over in Yammer. So we've now linked SharePoint over to the Yammer group conversation. So, and it's just a feed. It's very simple, very lightweight. And as I said, what's great is that Yammer widget, which allows you to help shape what that looks like. So just to wrap up this module, administration is not just about the establishment of the usage policies of adding users to the platform, but it's about monitoring and massaging the experience. That sounds very forward. But that ongoing end user education, it is key to success. In the next session, we're going to walk through the final one, Module 8, No more demos. We're actually going to walk through and talk about best practices for future planning. It's important because administration, of course, doesn't end when people are in there and live. You need to be aware of what's happening and be communicating those future changes back to your organization. So thanks for watching this, and we'll see you over at Module 8.